This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every team we play is going to be excited for the opportunity to come in here and knock us off. We got a target on our backs. We got to be ready.
Throws for Curry, who grabs it before it goes out of bounds. Splits traffic, takes a three. Oh, my goodness! Goes up, blocked again by Draymond. Out of bounds off Bazemore. Draymond did it again! 5 seconds to go. Curry with four. Curry with three. Takes a three for the win. He got it!
Here we go.
It's time for the Warriors Wrap Up. Here are your hosts, Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz.
Curry, right side, working on Porzingis, drives by him, hand off McGee, the dunk and the bucket, and JaVale McGee finishes off the play from Curry.
Yeah, I'm really comfortable. I know the plays. Even if we're not running the play, I know where I should be. So it's definitely a positive thing, just trying to stay positive and keep working hard.
Well, they tried to build it up. Here come the New York Knicks as they were coming in here to Oracle, and this was supposed to be a good game, but basically this was ho-hum from the start. The Golden State Warriors over the New York Knicks, 103-90. And you know something that I noticed, Matt, that we've been seeing lately? You know how much people are paying for tickets to come to these games?
Yes.
And watching people leave for the door, especially like the Indiana game, where people are leaving for the door at 4 minutes and 3 minutes, and by 2:50 or 2, everybody is getting out of the building. It's just this really wasn't a contest. And in a game where Steph Curry had 8 points, JaVale McGee, though, had 17, this was just an easy one. And they talked about, Matt, coming off the road trip, and they say that this game is like still like part of the road trip because of the long flight coming back from New Orleans. But in the end, the Golden State Warriors take care of business. We'll take your phone calls, 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. If you're a Warriors fan, you need to follow Warriors PR on Twitter, at Warriors PR. Dating back to the 2014-15 season, Matt, Golden State is now 75-1 in the regular season when they hold their opponents to under 100 points.
Wow. Yeah, you know, once the playoffs come and once we get into April and May, no one's going to remember this game. I mean, this is a forgettable game tonight. The Warriors didn't play particularly well, but it was still good enough to keep New York at bay all night long. The game was a letdown from the start, really, when you found out that Carmelo Anthony wasn't going to play. And that's quietly been a little bit of a trend now from Warrior opponents. You almost get the feeling like teams know it's going to be very, very difficult to come in here and get a win. And so maybe this isn't the worst place in the world to rest a player so that that player will be ready to play his next game. And I think that was the case tonight with Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks looking ahead to Saturday's game against the Nuggets. We saw the same thing happen here when the Dallas Mavericks came in. They sat a bunch of guys. We saw something similar against Indiana in Indiana when the Pacers were missing a bunch of guys. And it's just disappointing. It's a fine line between being injured and sitting a guy because of rest. And I think the league right now is very sensitive to players just not playing when they're healthy. So we'll have a night like tonight where Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony will ostensibly be injured. But you ask yourself, I wonder if they would have played if it were a playoff game.
Well, I think what we saw with Cleveland and Memphis was an absolute joke.
In a way, though, I have less of a problem with that than saying on the day of a game at 4 o'clock, Carmelo Anthony's not going to play because of a shoulder, knee, leg, eyebrow, who knows. But I agree, it's not good, and it's something the league, I think, is going to have to address, because it's a very bad look and the fans don't like it at all.
I think I have a way to answer that. I'll get into that a little bit later. I brought something up last night on my show that might be interesting for players who are healthy scratch. Now, when you, it's different, though, because we knew Rose it was already being reported the bad back, Chancey wasn't going to play. But, yeah, I mean, you know, not playing in games and ducking teams if you have a sore – I mean, if you are legitimately injured, if you legitimately need rest, that's one thing. But if you're in a situation to where you could go and you're just not going because you guys know you're going to lose this game, that's crap.
Yeah, and again, it's I think it's a fine line. Now, the Warriors played the Lakers earlier in this season, and the Lakers were missing three starters. And then the Warriors went to Utah about a week and a half ago, a week ago actually, a little over a week ago. Utah was missing Derek Favors. They were missing Hayward. They were missing George Hill. They were missing Rodney Hood. Those guys were all ostensibly hurt, and I don't doubt that they were. But then Hayward plays the next game. So it's going on, and I think everybody knows it's going on, and I think the reason that it's – well, there's so many facets to it, and I think one facet that's also important is the guy who started this all was Greg Popovich, and he's got six NBA titles under his belt, and he's going to do whatever he wants as long as he's coaching. So I understand that a coach and a franchise can do whatever they want for the betterment of their team, but you got to remember the fans. They're the ones who are paying the money to come to these games, and if they're not seeing the stars that they think they're going to pay for, I think we're going to have a problem.
We're talking about integrity.
Yeah.
Integrity of your sport. And I want to see Carmelo Anthony. I want to see Carmelo Anthony, who just won a gold medal in Brazil, play with some of his teammates from Team USA and see them go after it. Now, I just don't want to see the Golden State Warriors. I remember years ago, and if Tim Roy's listening, he may remember this. I remember interviewing Tim Roy a long time ago going, God, Tim, I mean, this team's bad. You go through a lot of losses. And Tim goes, you know what, though? Every single night, there's someone special on the floor to watch for the other team. Well, if we're going to get to a point where we're not seeing the special guys from the other teams, what are we talking about? And then, you know, I was thinking about it. If we get to a situation to where – you're going to take your three best players. They're not even going to show up, which I don't even know what other sport would do that, where players don't even show up to the game.
Right.
When you're a healthy scratch, you don't even show up. But then you start talking about, I mean, it starts starting to look like a rigged card game. The best players of the team don't show up, and your team's going to lose. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, remember Greg Popovich a few years back. He sent his players home.
Yeah.
They were on the road, and he sent them home before the last game of the road trip. So they
against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, they went home and got two or three days rest while the rest of the team was playing. So I do think the NBA is going to have to do something about it. And, you know, I don't want to say one thing goes hand in hand with the other, but just taking a look at what Steve Kerr said after the game, he wasn't thrilled with the game as a whole. He said, you know, the Warriors were playing with no focus. They seemed like they were just going up and down. And I got to tell you, in terms of intensity, I think this was one of the least intense games of the season here at Oracle. It was missing something, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was missing competition. The Warriors were up double digits virtually the whole game. The Knicks never made a run. The Warriors never put them away. And the game just lacked energy, I think, from the start, and that's too bad because the Knicks usually bring an extra level of energy when they're coming to your building.
For only one time a year.
Exactly.
I mean, this is it. And then, you know, the dynamic of Porzingis along with Carmelo Anthony has been something, but you saw Porzingis tonight. And obviously, when he plays against someone who's physical like Draymond Green and even at times Kevin Durant, he's 7'3", he's super young, but, I mean, there was times where he's fallen to the ground. I mean, he just kind of looks, I'm not going to say soft, but it's just not, this is not the – and he had eight. I mean, you're 7'3". Suppose he can hit threes. You got 8 points. You're a minus 21 from the floor. Not a block, not a steal, not an assist, and only 5 rebounds. I don't watch a ton of New York Knicks basketball, but I can tell you at times when I do watch him, I know he's really, really young. He could end up being just great. But so far I go, okay.
Well, for a player like him who's as young as he is, then to be playing without his two best teammates, Rose and Carmelo Anthony, and having to come into this building and then going up against Draymond Green without that kind of help. I mean, that's a tall order for him.
7'3 versus 6'7.
I know. And Draymond is just so much more physical than him. But, you know, that's the thing. And that's where I don't want to get into, were Rose and Carmelo Anthony really hurt? Could they have played if it were a playoff game and all that kind of stuff? The reality is the New York Knicks came in at 14-11. They were third in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, you want to see them bring their best here and go up against the Golden State Warriors, and then you find out they're two of their three best players aren't playing. It's just a letdown. It's just really, really disappointing.
Yeah, and if Popovich started it, someone has to stop it, because the mentality of a great athlete, the mentality of a great team is, or even a good team looking to become a great team, is this is when you measure yourself, right? This is when you look at the schedule on foot in football, whether we're talking hockey or we're talking about a 3 or 4 game set in baseball. You're going up against somebody who thinks one of the best. This is how you measure up, okay, how good are we? I want to see, here we are, it's early in the season, how do I measure up? And if you're just going to dog it and take your best guys out and basically go, yeah, we're going to lose anyway, that mentality stinks.
It does stink, but, you know, the other thing that's coming into play here too, I think, Towny, is with all this kind of advanced knowledge about the human body and the monitoring of sleep and the biorhythms and all those kind of things, teams are now able to pinpoint when a guy isn't as physically in tip-top condition as he was maybe a couple weeks ago. They can measure when he's sleep-deprived, which in turn may give you a clue to when he may be injured more. So a lot of this stuff is determined for the players sometimes, knowing that maybe, you know what, they don't have it. They may not have it tonight anyway. Why don't we give them an extra day or two's rest, and they'll come back the next game and be ready to go. It's
just a coincidence. It just happens to be against the Warriors when these monitors tell they need rest.
I hear you. I hear you.
All right, 888-957-9570. Let's get out to the phone calls. And, of course, when we're talking to the fans, it is brought to you by Nation's Giant Hamburgers. Keep it real. Make it Nation's. Leading off tonight here on Warriors Wrap-Up, let's go to Anthony in South City. You're on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, boys? Hey, I got to be honest, Steiny. Every time I see JaVale McGee throw back and put back dunk or just play good, I think of you, my man.
Because you know he can play with Rudy Gobert, right?
You know what? I exactly. No, one point I wanted to bring up to you, I mean, call me crazy, and I know you kind of dove into this when they played Utah, but I mean, for $20 million less, I know it's just one game, and looking at the numbers, I know Noah out-rebounded him by a little bit. I'd rather have McGee than the Noah on this team.
Than Noah? Oh, I would much rather have McGee than Noah. I think Noah's just about done. He has trouble moving around.
How many years does he have in that contract?
I don't even know.
4 years, and he's making about $23 million.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Look, as long as JaVale McGee can stay in his lane, do what he's asked to do, I think he's going to help this team. It's funny, I was talking to Kerry Keating late in the first quarter, and he's like, I bet you JaVale McGee's going to keep starting. And I said, no chance. I don't think so. And he said, maybe. I'd be surprised. I think I would keep JaVale McGee coming off the bench when Pachulia comes back, just to give him that comfort level. I think if he becomes the full-time starter, I think it puts him in more of a position to fail. But
17 tonight.
Yeah, in what, 16 minutes, too? I mean,
he was efficient.
I mean, he was. I mean, he doesn't have much of an offensive game, but the sucker can dunk. I know that. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know, he looks like he's helping. There's no doubt.
Yeah, it's crazy just watching him. I mean, I Gobert is a good player, but, I mean, no. I mean, this guy just looks worn out, man. Jeez, it's interesting to see. But, yeah, I think one other point, last point, just as far as teams resting, actually got into a little bit of argument with my friend about this earlier. Just like Tony said earlier, these teams are doing it on purpose when they're playing the Warriors. I mean, I saw the other night they were playing an OT game. Rose was playing, Melo was playing, and then I saw a report that they were thinking about resting Carmelo, and then all of a sudden, like you guys were saying, they're, you know, a sore shoulder. I mean, come on.
And let me tell you something. We're in December. Are you really going to try and tell me that you have whatever monitoring sleep deprived? You're going to tell me by sitting a guy here, what the hell's the date? December 15th, sitting a guy on December 15th when you got an all-star break that's, what, 8-9 days? The longest all-star break in the history of professional sports. You're going to try and tell me sitting a guy on December 15th is going to matter for the postseason? Really?
Greg Popovich seems to think so. Now, he had an older team. But, I see both sides. I really do. I guarantee you most coaches, look, let's face it, 82 games is too many. It's too many for basketball. And so if you're the coach of a team, why not say, you know what, I'm going to play my guys 70 games. I'm going to give them a dozen games off a year, a dozen paid holidays, as it were, and I'm going to pick
How about this? How about this? If it's too much and people agree it's too much, why don't we just take money off of their contract since 82 games really is just too much?
Well, the owners won't give up 12 games.
Well, I'm just saying, from a player, this is not about the owners. Right? Well, we're not talking about owners are not saying sit players. We're talking about coaches. We're talking about players. If you're going to sit players and you say you want to go down to 70, let's take money out of the pockets. You think they'd want to do it?
No, I don't think they'd want to do it. But I do think that a lot of players, it's not their decision. For example, I know LaMarcus Aldridge sat a game maybe a week or two ago, and Greg Popovich basically said, yeah, that's the way we do it.
Okay, we keep talking about Popovich. You're trying to tell me if LeBron James wanted to play in Memphis, they'd be like, no, you can't play.
Well, remember, LeBron James took 2 weeks off last year. He basically, you know, concocted an injury and took 2 weeks off. And they won the title. So he took like a mid – he took like a little two-week siesta.
Now, he is one guy, because you and I have talked about it. What's he at, 199 postseason games?
Exactly.
It's like basically two seasons he's played in the postseason. But don't tell me if LeBron James wants to play, they're going to force him not to play.
No, not LeBron James.
Right?
They won't. Not LeBron James. But I guarantee you, if Steve Kerr said to the Warriors, hey, look, I'm gonna sit, okay, the big four. I'm going to sit the big four. I'm going to sit you guys 3 or 4 games each over the course of the year.
That's fine.
Okay. Well,
but don't do it all together. Don't have all three. No, don't have your three stars not show up.
No,
that's a joke.
Right. You're right about that.
All right, 888-957-9570. Warriors with the win over the Knicks, 103-90. We continue with your phone calls right here on the home of the Warriors. That's 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up. Here's Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz.
Grabbed by Durant, low right to McGee. One big dribble to the rim, and he banked it home over Porzingis. JaVale McGee having himself a night.
Nobody better than the Golden State Warriors with a 23-4 record after the 103-90 victory. A lot to talk about in tonight's game. We can get into the sitting of players, and you love to hear from the fans because you're paying the bills. You're paying these big prices. Yes, you want to see your guys, but you want to see your guys against the rest of the league, the best players in the league. So we want you to weigh in at 888-957-9570. You know, at some point, I can't remember what basket it was, but at one point, every Warriors basket was connected to an assist. 91.1% of their baskets tonight, there was a Warriors assist. That's their highest assist percentage since the game. Got to go all the way back to 1995. Where were you in 95?
I was probably covering that team. That was Weber's team, I'll bet.
That was my last year of baseball at San Jose State, 1995. That's how long ago that was.
I don't want to, you know, we could talk about the definition of an assist, but there's no doubt the Warriors move the ball well. I don't know if they move it that well.
Are you saying they hand it out like Halloween candy these days?
Sometimes. I don't know. I got to look at the tape on this.
check the
that
tape.
Sounds like a lot of assists.
Let's go to Lee in Santa Clara. Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was actually keeping track of the assists, too. It was the first 36 baskets. They had 36 assists.
Wow.
I mean, that's like Harlem Globetrotters territory. They had
No. Because Meadowlark Lemon would always hit a half-court hook shot, and that was unassisted.
And then they have the water bucket full of the confetti, right?
Exactly.
That they throw
well, then Curly Neal would, like, dribble on his butt and all around and then take it to the hole.
Yeah,
that was all him.
Curly Neal was a ball stopper. I mean, he just, I mean.
Oh, you think Carmelo's a ball stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what I've never seen? Have you ever seen, I don't know about you, Lee, have you ever seen the footage of when Wilt was on the Harlem Globetrotters? I've never seen it.
I haven't either.
You know, I know that he was on it. I've seen just like still photos, but I wonder if there's maybe something on YouTube about that. But no, I don't think I ever seen it. You know who else was on the Globetrotters, I think, for a year? Was St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame pitcher Bob Gibson.
Really? That's good knowledge.
Yep. Really?
Yeah, check it out. I'm pretty sure he was in there for a year as well. He was an incredible all-around athlete.
Isn't Bob Gibson the guy we tried to get on the show that one time when you and I were hosting a show?
Yeah, remember he just got in a fight with the guy at the in I think it was Omaha, Nebraska, at a gas station.
Right.
Hey, Bob Gibson, you want to talk about
he didn't want to come on the show.
A rough man, a tough guy, but one of the great pitchers and competitors of all time. All right, I'm gonna check that Bob Gibson.
Lee, what else you got?
Yeah, the one other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, Kevin Durant is kind of evolving into a Draymond Green box score. So 15 points, 14 boards, 8 assists. He gets a couple block shots almost every night like he did again tonight. I mean, the guy's been in the league for, what, a decade? And I actually think his game is really changing. I mean, he's in a perfect spot that he doesn't just have to, you know, only be a shooter right now. It's actually really interesting to watch. I mean, he's a perfect fit for the team, just like JaVale McGee. You know, they have the shooters that open up space for McGee, lob it to him 3 or 4 times a game. Yeah, I mean, he's in a perfect spot as well. So I'm really liking how the team is, again, I'll use that word, evolving here.
Yeah, no, they're playing well. I mean, I don't know that Steve Kerr would say, and thanks a lot for the call, Lee, appreciate it. I don't know that Steve
By the way, Lee's got some legit hoop knowledge.
Was he right about Bob Gibson?
Bob Gibson was a star basketball player growing up in Omaha. He was the first black player in the history of Creighton University.
Wow.
And then you start going down the bio, the Hall of Fame pitcher spent the late 1957 year with the vaunted Harlem Globetrotters.
Wait, so that was before he was even dominant in baseball.
Yeah, because his dominance was in the
60s.
Yeah. Bob Gibson was a horrible goal.
Who says they thought he was a better basketball player than baseball player?
I don't know who that is. But, yeah, you think about that. Bob Gibson was Meadowlark Lemon before Meadowlark Lemon.
That's pretty incredible.
Learn something every single time we do a show, Steiny. We learn every single time.
Lee coming through.
We had a basketball writer, got his name slipped my mind, last night on the show, and I brought up Draymond Green because – when you think of most valuable, see, back for so many years, most valuable just always went to the best offensive guy, right? Any type of MVP award, like the Heisman Trophy, always went to an offensive guy until Charles Woodson won it. You know, analytics has really changed in all sports how we view players and their value versus just the old school thought of whoever just has the certain best offensive stats, they're the guy, they're the MVP. And I was trying to make a case for Draymond, you know, on a team full of stars. But if you say one guy is the glue, he's the grit, he's the glue. Without him, they don't win a championship. Well, where does that put his actual value?
I think you could make the case that Draymond Green is the most valuable player on this team. I do. And
Chris Haynes, if I remember, Chris Haynes from ESPN, he kind of laughed at me. And I went, wait a minute. I understand if I asked you this question years ago, but I'm asking you a question now where we look at a total player's value.
Right.
Yeah, if you're going to sit here and say, well, you know, he doesn't score like James Harden. Okay, but this guy's winning games defensively. Look at the way he fills up a box score. I'm not saying he should, but shouldn't he at least kind of be in the conversation? He's on the best team, and everybody's saying, without this guy, hey, they weren't winning a title until he emerged and took over the spot for David Lee.
Yeah, that's a good point. And what I also think is, the more I think about this, you have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. They're all unbelievable scorers. We know that. If you took one of those three guys off the team, the Warriors would still be damn good because they'd still have two huge scorers and Draymond Green. But if you took Draymond Green off this team, the Warriors would still have three scorers, but they wouldn't have the guy that does all of Draymond Green's things. So I do think, I mean, I've said this all year, if you took Draymond Green off the Warriors, I don't think they would be the favorites to win it all. I think they still might be able to win it. I think they'd be in contention, but they wouldn't be even close to the favorites they are now.
Let's go to Galileo in Monterey. You're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Yes, sir. I was at the game. It was a fun one. Got to see Porzingis. JaVale McGee breakout game and driving through a storm will be the memorable moment.
What was the driving through the storm?
Yeah, it was raining hard.
Was it raining on the was it raining when you got out of the building tonight?
No, just drizzling.
Okay. So we're basically, Tony, when I'm lugging this equipment out to my car, is it going to be raining?
I hope not, because it was pouring. My whole ride here was so much fun. It was so much fun. Hey, appreciate the phone call. Khaled from Clayton leaving the game. Got to finally meet you tonight.
Yes.
What's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Good.
Khaled, what's up, man?
Nothing much. You know, it's always nice to be able to get out there and shake the hands of two gentlemen that run the airwaves in such a way that it always makes my drive home from the games, whether it be the A's games and Townie and, you know, the Warriors games, you know, with both of you guys, or Steiny when he's by himself, or when Townie when you're by himself. You guys are a good pair of guys off the air as well as on the air. So I wanted to say I appreciate the way you guys, you know, don't big time anybody like some other people might do, you know, when you meet them.
Well, Steiny sometimes big times people, but
I must admit, Clint caught me when I was looking away from him and I was stewing about something. And he was like, Steiny, and I was like, yeah. Oh, hey, Clint, nice to meet you. Hey, all right.
Yeah, you were a little bit of a red ass tonight. Let's be honest.
Well, you know, I was locked into the game.
Yeah. Uh huh.
If it would have been anybody but Clint, I don't know, but it was our main man on the Warriors wrap up. So
I appreciate that, Steiny. So, you know, Tony and I talked about it a little bit when I was getting ready to walk out. I actually want to call out Dub Nation, you know, over these last couple of games because, you know, it kills me, you know, to watch people, you know, and I get it. People need to get home to their kids, start work early and all the rest of that. But watching the droves of people leaving, you know, in the third quarter or – you know, in a game a couple of weeks ago when Clay's going off for 60 points, you know, people walking up the aisles and leaving early, you know, that kind of gets me, you know. And I'm not, you know, going to sit here and tell people how to be a fan, but that is a pretty good indication to me about where we've come and where we've gotten to with the success of this team. And, you know, we used to be out there with 5,000, 6,000 less people, but every single one of those people that was in that house stayed till the end, regardless of whether we were getting slaughtered, whether we were losing the heartbreaker, or we were squeaking one out and we were getting chalupas as a result of the win. People hung around, and now the expectation of winning and greatness has risen, and people just walk away when great things are happening on the floor. And that, you know, that to me is a scary proposition, especially with this team getting ready in a couple of years to open up a new house in San Francisco where a lot of corporate dollars and corporate atmosphere is going to be coming into there. Because that, if we're already doing this in the Oracle, what's going to happen when Chase Center opens up?
Yeah, it's a good point. You know what? You know what bothers me even
And Khalid,
more,
thank you for the point. We appreciate it. That's a really good fan, season ticket holder, great guy, and it was great to meet him tonight.
I'll tell you what, and Khalid, tell me if next time I talk to you if you think this is right. Last year I thought there were a lot of times when fans would leave games when the Warriors would be down like 8 points with a minute 50 left, and I'm thinking they're going to come back and win this game. Or, you know, the Warriors would be down – maybe eight with 5 or 6 minutes left, and people go, oh, they're in trouble. They would come back and win those games. I mean, I would never, ever walk out on a Warrior game that they were losing until the final buzzer, because that's how explosive they are. But Khaled's right. I was, you know, sitting in here watching the last few minutes on the television. A lot of people were leaving.
Yeah, and the money they're paying to leave early. All Warriors guests sound better on JBL speakers and headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors at 95.7 The Game. We roll on with your phone calls, 888-957-9570, right here. Warriors wrap-up, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors wrap-up continues. Here's Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz.
Stephen Noah with a fresh clock as the ball came off the rim. So it's 24 seconds if the Knicks win the tip. Curry wins the tip, and you heard him yell. He tipped it off the back rim. He stole the tip on the way up.
You want me to start this segment, Townsend?
I'm just telling you right now.
Okay, like, keep talking.
Yeah, you just keep – you keep – we're dealing with new equipment right now. I can't even hear myself right now.
Really?
Yeah, I can't even hear myself right now.
Let me tell you, you're coming in loud and clear in my ears.
Am I really?
Yeah.
I can't even hear.
And let me tell you, I don't know how much I like hearing you in my ear at 11:20 at night, if you know what I mean.
Well, it is what it is. Hopefully I can hear the callers. Let's go to Mark in the city. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? How y'all doing?
How you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm good. Kind of a sloppy win. I figured that they were going to be kind of unfocused because of the whole Craig Sager's death, and God rest his soul. But the fact that there were three players in the lineup that were flirting with a triple-double tells me once this team really gets it together, ooh, man, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get a feel for how well or how poorly they're playing. I think they're having trouble finding motivation right now. I really do. I mean, they're 23-4. They had a bunch of guys who were playing in the Olympics. They came out to start the year, and Kevin Durant was on the team, so that was new, and that probably pushed them through the first month and a half. But I do think it's going to be a challenge for them to stay motivated December, January, February, and then, you know, once March comes, they can start thinking about the playoffs. But it's not easy getting up for every single game. I agree with you. No, he dropped?
Yeah, and, you know, a situation to where two of their best players aren't playing.
I know. You can sometimes tell – the Warriors get a little bored, I think, when they get a little too cute. They don't make the normal play or the easy play. They try to make the difficult pass, the great lob, the threading of the needle. But you can't blame them. They have to try to keep games interesting. They really do. And they can win games by a big margin when they're not playing well. And I'm starting to think that maybe one of the issues that may come up is the fact that they're not going to get challenged a lot in the regular season. And then what happens when the playoffs come, if they get themselves into a tough series or two, maybe they won't be used to it. I mean, look, I'm looking for something. I'll admit it. I'm looking for something to be concerned
about. That's what sounds like
about.
Right now.
Does it?
Yeah. Because it's right. I mean, this is a game where
I'm looking for something to be concerned about. Yeah, you're right. I am.
Yeah, there's
David
two,
West back, maybe.
There's two things to sell, hope and worry.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Really, there's no worry. I mean, they win 103-90. This game was in hand. And you just wonder, I mean, they know how good they are. And you're looking over at a team that they've got to play so lights out to even really have a chance here tonight. You don't think the Warrior guys know that? That they're cruising through this game. You don't think they know, okay, we're going to beat these guys.
Right.
Let's go to Sam in San Leandro. Sam, you're on 95.7 The Game.
How you doing, fellas?
Doing well.
Man, let me tell you something. I am high as a kite right now, but I want to talk to you guys. Listen, I remember when
it was a big win. You're right.
It was a huge win. Yeah. But I remember when me and my brother were excited about us drafting Chris Porter. And look where we're at now, guys.
Chris Porter was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, I remember him at Syracuse, and I was like, wow, this is going to be the guy that changes everything for us. But
I
now
don't
we're
think
like,
he went to great. Syracuse. I think he went to Auburn.
Okay, sorry. But anyways, so
he's high as a kite.
Chris Porter could get up. Chris Porter could get up.
Yeah, but I don't think he was a savior. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he certainly wasn't the savior. I was just talking about his vertical.
Yeah, for sure. But we're more than a quarter of a way through the season. Do you guys take any merit to our losses against the top teams in the West, which is starting to shape out to be the Spurs? Well, behind us is the Spurs. The Rockets are for real. And
Memphis. The
depleted Grizzlies. Do you guys take any merit to those being our losses? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like
not yet.
They're right.
Not yet. But let's let another month play out. The first game of the year they lost to the Spurs. I'm willing to forget about that until you play the Spurs again. The Houston Rockets. I think the Rockets are more equipped to play against the Warriors this year than in the last 2 years, for sure, because I think losing Dwight Howard really helps them, because now they don't even have to feel like they got to spoon feed him. I think Ryan Anderson is a great addition because he's a terrific three-point shooter. Now you have Eric Gordon coming off the bench. I think Houston's for real, and I think Memphis just played a great game against the Warriors. So we'll see what happens when Memphis comes in here, but you know, the Warriors have handled the Clippers. That's the one thing they have on their side. But I'm willing to see what we got to wait to see what happens when they play those teams the second and third times.
Oh, yeah, but just one last thing. But the Grizzlies game scared me because it's a depleted Grizzlies team.
Well, they were only missing Conley.
Yeah, and Parsons too. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but yes, they were, absolutely. But I don't know that he's going to even come back and be able to play. He's been
– okay.
He hasn't played much in the last 2 years. But you're right, they were missing him, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, like I thought about it all week. Like, you know, if the teams who we lost to, it's kind of like how you got at Jack Del Rio about you're beating all the weak teams, but the teams that you're really supposed to beat, you know, that are at your level kind of – you know what I mean? Like,
No,
what are you talking about? They lost to Kansas City twice. They beat Denver. They beat Denver. What the hell are you talking about? They beat Denver in a big game on national TV. Well, that's it. I'm talking to a guy who's higher than a kite. I get him out of here.
Yeah, but you know what? Denver's not.
They have no quarterback.
And who's the other team they lost? Oh, they lost to the Falcons. They lost to the Falcons.
They lost to the Falcons at home. Then they've lost two straight to Kansas City, both in bad weather games.
Their schedule's been a joke.
You want to talk about a schedule? Oh, going to Florida for 2 weeks. You've been back to Baltimore. You've been to Mexico City. You played four games in 18 days. Four football games in 18 days. But this is Warriors wrap-up. Both is going good. Raider football, they'll take down
That's
the Chargers and this Sunday. Of course, you'll be able to hear us here on 95.7 The Game. And, of course, the Golden State Warriors 103-90 this win. We continue with your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We'll be here all night, right?
For a little while longer.
On 95.
I
got to
start lugging this equipment
on. In the rain on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up. Here's Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz.
Waits as Thompson curls off a pick from the weak side. Lob to McGee. Look out. That's like an instant replay. Same type action, same dunk for McGee. 16-12, Golden State.
103-90 over the New York Knicks. The Warriors 23-4. And once again, this number is just insane. Dating back to 2014-15 season, Golden State is now 71-5 in the regular season when holding their opponents under 100 points.
I thought you said 75-1.
75-1.
No, you just said 71-5.
Oh, sorry, 75-1.
That loss was to who? The Spurs? That 87-79 loss last year?
No.
It wasn't?
No, it wouldn't have been that game. They didn't lose to the Spurs in
last year. Didn't they lose 87-79?
No, you're right. I think you're right, actually.
R.C. Davis is here. He's at every game, and he doesn't remember.
It was an outlier.
That was the first game in San Antonio. You're right. Yeah. I was thinking of the second game when the Warriors won there when they were going for the record at the end of the year.
Oh, that's right.
It was
the
first game of the year that it was a very ugly, low-scoring affair.
That's right.
We've been talking about a ho-hum game. We'll get back to the phone calls at 888-957-9570. But for you, you know, J.D., you were down there in the locker room. What was the mood like?
Well, Steve Kerr wasn't totally happy with the game tonight, honestly, other than the 41 assists and the belief that he thought the team made a conscientious effort to share the ball, which they do most nights. But other than that, he thought the game lacked energy, lacked attention to detail, really on both ends, especially on the defensive end. And he thought that the team played tired-legged coming off of a road trip. And with these games piling up now, you go back really to the end of November, first part of December, and they're playing every other day. They're playing back-to-backs. They're playing 4-5, 5-7. They come back yesterday. They're back on the floor tonight. So I think it's starting to maybe take a little bit of a toll.
I think they got to start resting guys.
Oh, my God, stop it. How much is they hear Rose isn't going to play? Carmelo's, I mean, three of these guys just want
to. Ron Baker played.
Three of these guys just won a gold medal with Carmelo.
23 minutes for Ron Baker.
They had a great time with Melo down in Brazil, right? You can't wait to play against your buddy from the Olympic team. They had the gold medals out today.
Now those are the rings.
Was it the rings?
Yeah, they get medals and rings, apparently.
So, I mean, how much do you think for the Warriors, too, they went, they're not playing those guys?
Yeah, I think it's some of it. I really do. And I think you look at this from the Knicks' perspective, and the Knicks are just trying to go all in and get guys rested up, you know, for what's in front of them. You know, and I think you're starting to see more teams do that. They're going to play in Denver on Saturday night, so they're going to get Carmelo Anthony a night of rest. They're going to get Derrick Rose, who's been out with an injury. They're going to get those guys lined up potentially to try and get a much more winnable game for them, a game in Denver against a struggling Nets team or struggling Nuggets team in the Western Conference.
RC, take Saturday off. I know you've been working every single game. I know it's been really, really tough. It's December. Take that off. Tell Tim Roy you're not going to be able to show up. We'll have you go to dinner in San Francisco with your lovely wife.
I just think that they won a title 2 years ago. They got to the finals last year. Today was essentially the unofficial third of the season. They're a third of the way through the season now after 27 games. I think they're having trouble getting motivated, especially now. I mean, I think they were motivated early in the season because Durant came and it was the start of the season. But now it's like, wow, how are we going to get through the next third of the season, the next 25 or 30 games? I think it's starting to hit them that, again, they can't fast forward to June. And it's not easy to get up for every game in the NBA.
No, it's not. And I think they are going to find themselves in stretches like this. And I think they are in one right now where, you know, I think different challenges come in different nights. I mean, they fell behind in New Orleans. That became a challenge in its own right. They weren't playing all that well in Minnesota, and they needed a big fourth quarter to turn that game around. So I think some of those nights where they fall behind, it's a way to engage on a given night. You come back home and you realize pretty early on in the game that the Knicks don't have enough going for them with Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose out to even hang in a game when the Warriors aren't playing well. And Steve Kerr kind of alluded to the fact that he thought the Warriors were fortunate tonight that they weren't playing a better team, that if they had been playing a better team with the way that they played, that team could have taken it to them and maybe gotten a victory against them tonight. So I think you push through these next couple games. Portland's here. That's always fun with Damian Lillard coming back. And then the Jazz are a playoff team on the bottom end on Tuesday night. They're going to be here as well. So I think that's a game that'll have maybe a little more juice. But really, until you get to Christmas and going to Cleveland and playing them after the Cavs wound up beating them three straight back in June, you know, there aren't a lot of games where the Warriors circle them at this point.
Right.
But that's one of them. And I think maybe even the game in Detroit, the game before that because Detroit thumped them in January at the Palace of Auburn Hills. So maybe those are two games where there's a little more juice.
You know, walking over here, walking on the floor, Phil Jackson was on the floor before he left, and everybody said, Phil. And I was just thinking walking over here, and, you know, because the Warriors don't see the Knicks very much. I mean, how many times past couple of years now when the Warriors are taking on the Knicks, does Steve Kerr go, thank God I didn't take that job. Oh, my God.
He was close to taking that job. Yeah.
Right? And he's still real close to Philly. He talks about they email with each other all the time. I mean, JD, can you just – I mean, the difference in the two jobs.
Well, I don't – go ahead.
No,
And Stan Van Gundy, too. Stan Van Gundy turned the Warriors' job down. He could have been Steve Kerr.
Well, and you just wonder how it all would have played out. You wonder who would have been here because if Steve Kerr had gone there.
Right.
And the Knicks clearly would be, you know, I think the Knicks would probably be about the same as they are right now if Steve Kerr was at the helm. And where would the Warriors be? Because it could not have worked out any better for the Warriors and Steve Kerr. And the Warriors were, you know, there's been a couple of times. It's funny how things where the Warriors are kind of at a crossroads. And they've been able to make the perfect move to continue their arc, extend their arc out forward. And I think, you know, turning from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr was part of that.
Sure.
And I think you look at just them losing the finals last year. What's the one thing they had to do? They had to go get Kevin Durant because it was starting to look like they couldn't bring that team back once it all played out and they ended up losing in the finals. They had to add Kevin Durant to extend their championship window.
What do you think it's like for Jeff Hornacek to have Phil Jackson hanging over his shoulder?
I think Phil Jackson's pretty I don't think he's a micromanager. I really don't. I think he wants him to play a little bit of the triangle, but I think he's here's what I want to say is what happens if the Clippers don't match the offer sheet for DeAndre Jordan? I mean, that was another one. Or how about – remember when Mark Jackson came here, they made a serious run at Tyson Chandler. They wanted him badly.
Yeah.
Luckily, Tyson Chandler didn't sign here. They've had a bunch of – they went after Brandon Roy when he was starting his comeback, and he chose to go play somewhere else. So there have been a lot of things that have worked out in their favor.
Yeah, and they've been really intelligent with the way that the decisions that they've made, but some of the decisions that they haven't made or that didn't work out and they had to go to plan B.
Or how about the Sacramento Kings pulling the offer from Andre Iguodala?
Right, because they were set to pay Andre Iguodala nearly as much money as the Warriors were, and they were going to make him their number two player
next
to DeMarcus Cousins at that point in time. They didn't even have Rudy Gay at that point in time on their roster. They were going to have Iguodala be their number two. And you think about, I mean, my goodness, for as much of a success story as the Iguodala deals worked out, just for him to be a glue guy, you imagine Iguodala's career if he had wound up in Sacramento? I mean, he would have been a major disappointment there.
You know what? I wonder. I wonder. I mean, I know his number. He wouldn't have been the impact player they would have wanted him to be, but he might have been one of the best things for Cousins. He might have found a way to make it happen there. I mean, you know, it would have depended on what else they would have done because, yeah, I think we all expected more from Iguodala in terms of his talent, how much his stats, basically his stats. But the other side of the coin, he's been above and beyond.
Well, he's been the perfect fit for this Warriors team. Right. And, again, we've talked about it a lot, the fact that Iguodala comes in and you're thinking, okay, this guy's got to be close to what he'd been to that point in his career as a starter.
Right.
Well, the reality is the Warriors had so much talent that was being cultivated and was about to explode. They only needed him to be a glue guy. I don't think that Sacramento situation, they had nearly enough other talent to where Iguodala could have just been a glue guy,
but
especially at that kind of salary.
But that first year, Iguodala was starting for the Warriors.
Yeah.
And
Harrison Barnes off the bench didn't work.
Right. But, I mean, Iguodala would have gone to Sacramento and averaged 17 probably. Don't you think?
Yeah, and they probably would have won 27, 28 games. And
what'd they win without him?
probably 27, 28 games. That's what. But that's a separate conversation.
I just
you're right. He probably wouldn't have been the kind of glue guy he ended up being here.
And the expectation when you're going to a team like that is you're going to be the guy that's going to help turn it around. And he would not have been that guy. And he would have been he wouldn't have been a well thought of player in that town from that organization. There's no doubt he would have been.
Yeah,
a bust.
You're right about that.
But with the Warriors. Hey, it's perfect, and he's just what the doctor ordered. Just things worked out for him and for the Warriors.
But early on in his tenure with the Warriors, I remember thinking, man, they're paying him a lot of money, and he's okay. But, you know, he's not a number one for sure. I mean, he was in Philly, and that was a tough role for him. But you're right. I mean, he's turned out to be worth every penny just – all the different things he's done with his team.
Well, and now he's a guy, Townie.
Well, now he's underpaid.
But now, he's underpaid now with the collective bargaining agreement. And you start to look at this Warriors team going forward, and you start to look at how the heck are they going to replace a guy like him when he's a free agent.
Do you think he's going to be on the Warriors next year?
I don't think he can be because he's due, just by nature of the CBA, I think he's due a raise.
Do you think another team will give him 14 or 15?
I think it's possible.
Let's talk about that after
the break. It's possible.
Can you get us out of break?
I'm trying. I just know one thing. If I was him, I would have been depressed going to Arco every game.
No doubt.
Look at JD. He had to do that in the years past.
Look at all the years it took off my life.
I mean, if I had to hang out in Natomas and Arco Arena, I would have been a little depressed. All right, we'll continue. 888-957-9570 right here on Warriors Wrap Up 95.7 The Game. Knicks offense in disarray right now as Jennings gets a pick, goes all the way in, and McGee knocks it away. Says, don't bring that in here, little man. Here comes Curry the other way. Curry left-hand dribble, backs up and takes it to the three-point line. Feeds Klay Thompson. Thompson throws high and hard to McGee, who tips it in. He tipped it in with his right hand.
Warriors wrap-up continues. Here's Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz.
All right, get in and get out. We got to be quick. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Dre in Central California. Go ahead, Dre.
County, I liked your argument that you had with that guy about Draymond Green and MVP because he is the MVP of the team. And if he's the MVP of the team and his team ends up being the number one team, I like the argument. There's no doubt about it. And what you guys were saying earlier with JD about the glue. And when Iguodala first got here, he was the glue that year. But right now, the glue is undoubtedly Draymond. And if I could real quick, you met some guy tonight, and he was complaining about fans leaving earlier.
Yeah, Colette.
Yeah, Colette. We don't want to be that. Warrior fans don't want to be Dodger fans. If I'm at the game, I see people leaving earlier. I'm looking to upgrade. That's what I'm doing.
Thank you very much. By the way, John Dickinson brought to you by From the Floor. That's right. Brought to you by Walnut Creek Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, where savings is simple. Online at walnutcreekjeep.com. Marvin, East Oakland. Go ahead, Marvin.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, I want to tell you guys a story on how the guy that passed away started.
Craig Sager. Craig Sager.
Yeah, but I needed more time. But what I do want to say is, if I took my son to the Warriors game and expected to a game and Steph Curry and him didn't play, I would be pissed, and I would definitely go to the management and try to get my money back. These guys make too much money to sit out games like LeBron James. How many kids do you think they disappointed last night, Steiny? You know what I'm saying? LeBron James fans.
Marvin,
it's
I got to tell
right.
you.
Marvin, thank you for
Marvin,
the call. I agree.
Marvin, I hear you. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I'll tell you what, I'm sick of catering to the kids all the time. That's all we do as a society.
You're against our future?
I'm just saying we spoon-feed the kids everything, and then they grow up and they think that everything they should have is entitled. So what? They still get to go to a pro game. They're still in an NBA arena.
Without the NBA champs and their three stars, thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, Mike Dunleavy played.
I thought Steve Kerr made a funny point in his pregame press conference, and Kerr's against this. And we talked about it on Warriors warm-up earlier. He doesn't like doing it. He took a lot of heat when the Warriors
when he played
did
with
it.
Jordan sat all the time.
Yeah.
Jordan Pippen never played.
Yeah, exactly.
They sat out 15 games a year.
Exactly.
Because they were tired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. Well, he joked at the fact that he thought, you know, you should just do it in San Antonio because Popovich started it. So if the Warriors were going to do it, or any team, just do it in San Antonio. Their fans are used to it.
Funny.
Popovich tried it, so that'll be the new protocol for it. But he can't stand it.
Scottie Pippen sat out with a headache. I'm just saying.
Sat out the final play of a game one
exactly.
time.
Well, that was that's a whole different ball
That was
game.
A little different.
By the way, talking with Coach Kerr, the coach's interview brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play at Oaks. Well, let's wrap this up, boys. This was one that I don't think we're really going to remember this in about a couple months.
No, JD, I said no one's going to remember this game in about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, you're right. Honestly, I mean, other than maybe the game where JaVale McGee was 17 points on 8 of 10.
He's going to have a lot more. He's going to have a lot more games like this.
He solidify himself in the starting lineup tonight, guys?
I don't think so. We were talking a little bit about that. I don't think when Pachulia gets healthy, he's going to be the starter. And I think that's the way Steve Kerr wants it, at least for now.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Depth.
Well,
they have
we'll
a little
see.
Depth.
You know, and
that.
Also, before we get too high on JaVale McGee, let's see how he starts performing against Memphis, against the Spurs, against Cleveland, against the real good teams, Houston.
Can we end on an inside joke?
Sure.
We got to let it play out. That's it for Warriors Wrap-Up. We'll see you on Saturday, Matt Steinmetz. I'll be back tomorrow night with the Chris Townsend Show. Have a great night. Fox Sports will take you the rest of the way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.